A reading from the book of Genesis. And God said, Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky. So God created the great sea monsters, and every living creature that moves, of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. The Word of the Lord.
For a long time, there has been controversy raging between science and religion. There's times when science stands up and regards religion as superstitious, and times when religion regards science as arrogant. And really what happens is when you place two people looking at the one table from opposite ends, they see very, very different things. There was a time where I remember a facetious kind of description of the main difference between a Catholic and a Protestant was that a Catholic was beauty seeking order, and a Protestant was order seeking beauty. And it's very much the same when we look at all these extreme debates that we have in the world between science and religion, faith and reason, between any kind of fundamentalism and what's called rationalism, that each time somebody is brought into the debate, we always listen to the voices of the great extremes. When you hear a discussion on human life and the sanctity of human life, you're more likely to have somebody from a militant version of pro-life, and similarly, they would be responded to by somebody very militant from an emotional from the other end. And as the two of them scream across at each other, really, we don't really get very close to the truth at any stage. Let me think of the story of the origin of the universe. We're really cast back at the same time to exactly what Thomas wrote. When St. Thomas was giving his five demonstrations of the existence of God, all he said was that the first thing that moved was certainly alive, or was certainly capable of moving on its own. And whatever that was, however we define it, that is what we call God. And whether it happened in 6 days, or 6 years, or 6,000 years, or 6 millennia, or 6 billion, trillion years, it's only part of a story. How do we understand that we came from something that is good? That's all we all want to know. We don't need to know the exact mechanics of it. We don't need to know exactly what was God thinking on day three. It often amuses me that if you take a literal reading of the scriptures, with the sun and moon only being made on the second day, you'd have to ask, well, why did he measure the first day? Why didn't he make the moon and stars first, so that at least he could measure the days by which he was going to create the world? Because it was never meant to be anything more than a story to tell us that everything came out of goodness. And out of that goodness, we participate in a harmonious way in the life of God, the creative life of God. And when we look at the language we use in all of these debates, we use extreme language at other levels too. We speak of the universe being boundless. We speak of it existing outside of time and out of space. And we will accept that as scientific. But if we were to say that God is boundless and exists outside of time and space, well then, that doesn't make as much sense to so many people. There are certain things that our mind cannot reach. There are certain words that we haven't learned yet, and certain ideas that we can't capture. When we come across these, we always give a kind of an easy answer, like saying, oh sure, that's a mystery if you're religious, or that's something we're researching if you're scientific. But in the end, both are saying the same thing. We don't know. And both of us are saying at the end of that, very quietly, yes. Too much conflict is created in this world by people shouting and screaming at each other, when quite often they're actually saying the same thing. And all conflict resolution is not about finding the middle ground where both can just about put up with things. you'll often find that people are all tending towards the same thing. Once upon a time, we liked to think that what we were heading towards was goodness, that we believe that the creation and the origin of the universe is in goodness, and that as we participate in it, that we too become better people, better to each other, and more pleasing in the eyes of God. Sadly, in recent years, we have more been inclined to focus on the main decision of our behind a lot of what we do is motivated by money, greed, and novelty. And when a recession bites, the first thing, our arms in the air, and we say, but how will I last without the luxuries that I've become so accustomed to? What will happen when all my cushions have been taken away? Well, when the cushions are taken away, you'll still have the essential goodness that is really the driving passion of all life sitting around you. All the people who love you will have more time to spend with you if you're not at work for as long as you used to be. All the people who love you will have more time to talk to you. And that's really what we like doing. We like sitting in the company and in the presence of people who are good to us, our community. That is what we celebrate too as a church every time we have Mass, that we celebrate that with other good people that we gather round, and where we gather, God is truly present among us. In the Blessed Eucharist, we celebrate God coming among us, but God is among us in many other ways too. God is among us in our friendship, in our companionship, in the real passions that make a difference to life. If there is a prayer at a time of recession, it would be, Lord, let me see what I have rather than what I have not got. After all, sometimes it's good to look at it from the other end of the table.